Beautiful song. Amen. And we can make that promise. There used to be an old song you sing when I was a boy. I've said that I'd like to have that song at my funeral, whenever it is my time to go. They said, "I firmly promise you I'll meet you by the river." That song along the same vein. People say, "Well, I hope to meet you over there." Well, you can have more than a hope. Amen. You can make plans to meet us over there because we can trust the Lord's Word, have confidence in what He said. And I'm glad that is true. Amen and amen. All right. All right. Let's all stand. We'll get another song together in the congregation and sing together for the glory of God. Amen.
All right. Page 521. And in case y'all missed what just happened, the little guy run up here and slid and bumped his head into the podium.
Okay, I missed it.
But he was far enough away from Mom and Daddy, he couldn't get any help. So guess who came to help?
Amen.
Big Brother.
That's good.
The bigger brother was fixing to come, but the little one beat him to it. That's an example of a brother helping a brother.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I wonder how many times we let things go
when
we should have helped someone.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I wonder how many times we let things go that we said we wouldn't do something, but we did do it. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the situation. You may say, "Well, I'll never do anything like that." But whenever it's one of your own, you'll probably do it.
Yeah.
521, please.
Chapter number 7. One more time for today. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. I'm glad I'm fixing to take a trip. Amen. I believe Jesus is coming and going to take His children away. Amen. And I saw Caleb was crying there, and as Jonathan was taking him back, I didn't know if he'd got up here and got embarrassed or what had happened. Or if Gracie had punched him in the nose as he was coming up. I didn't suspect that. But didn't know what had happened there. But that is a blessing, and I miss seeing it. But it's good that you could. When my brother would fall, I was the older brother. When my brother would fall and get hurt like that, I'd clap, amen. And maybe step over there, try to hip him up, you know, or something. I'm kidding. I'm not near as mean as y'all think I am, or as my wife makes it like I am to my little brother. If y'all knew how much pain he'd caused me through the years, you'd understand. But I'm kidding. I do just like to pick about some of that. But that is a blessing to see brothers looking after brothers. Amen. And that is how it ought to be. I say this. Used to say it to my children when I was growing up. Sometimes there gets to be a tendency that it's almost like a rivalry between brethren. And it ought not be that way. I used to tell them, we're on the same team. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way church ought to be. Amen. There ought not be a rivalry maybe between this side and this side or somebody. There ought to be a camaraderie, a family, a cohesion together. Amen. And that's how it ought to be, that we'd stand together with God's people and with one another. Anyway, having said all that, that is true. By the way, pray for Brother Kuhn. He's preaching tonight down at over at Beaver Dam for Brother Cooper as well. Preached out this morning and there. Tonight, if he can get there, he didn't think he could make it back here tonight, and that would be a little bit closer to him. Did I do something wrong? It's on mute. Thank you. Amen. All right. Amen. You'd think I'd have figured it out by now, wouldn't you? Steve done it. He's been trying to put me on mute. I don't know what you did to it, brother, but he wasn't working. But he. Amen. All right. That's enough for comedy hour. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. We'll start there and read down through the chapter, just 5-6 verses here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, again tonight for your call.
Yes, Lord.
For the sacrificial work there. Thank you, Lord, for the mediator between us and God's man, God, Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, so much. Good to be back in the church tonight with our people. Thank you for your mercy.
Yes. Help, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Senator. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I started preaching on these verses with the thought of the particulars of the parable. We looked a few weeks ago at the original message there and dealt with the purpose, why he gave the parable. This morning we started looking at the particulars. I mentioned three things that I wanted us to look at, and we began looking at one of those this morning. I said we're going to notice the contrast, and so this morning I just preached a short message about the two categories, and you're in one or the other, lost or saved, wise or foolish, right or wrong. You got to be in one of those categories. There's no middle ground. Either headed to heaven or you're headed to hell. There's no in between, and there's nowhere else that you can go. And so we just dealt with that real simple, really, to be honest, real simple thought. But it's so strange to our world today, because people like to believe, or I guess you'd say they like to imagine, that really it's a lot more complicated than that. There's people, you just can't pigeonhole people in one of two ways. But Jesus did. Jesus said there's only two ways. There's a straight way and there's the broad way. Amen. The narrow way, the broad way. Straight gate or the wide gate. You're going in one or the other. You're going on one way or the other way. You're either headed to destruction or you're headed towards delight in glory. Amen. And so we talked about the contrast in the parable and the two categories that were mentioned there. Tonight, I want to look at the construction in the parable. I mentioned it this morning. The construction in the parable. There's not only two classes of people, there's two builders, but there's also two buildings, two different, and the building is the life. He's dealing with as they build their life and what their life is based on, what their life is is grounded on. And so we can understand that. And then, Lord willing, we'll come back and look at this sometime later and look at the crisis in the parable as we see the consequences for being a wise or a foolish builder and the consequences for having a building either with a foundation or without a foundation. And we'll look at the consequences of that sometime in another message, Lord willing. But tonight I want to deal with just that thought, the construction in the parable. And again, I say this is certainly not anything amazing. We've heard it again and again, but we're there in the text, and I believe it's right to look at it. And I believe that while we do, it's right to slow down and look at it in a very clear and just complete way if we can, and see it as the Lord has put it to us in His Word. Every word of God is important. We'd agree with that. Every word of God is important. If you're reading your Bible, you might be reading a sermon by Peter. That's a good sermon to read. You might be reading a sermon by Paul. That's a good sermon to read. You might be reading a sermon by a prophet, one of the prophets. But this is the sermon of our Lord Jesus Himself. He's winding her down to the end. And as in most cases, the ending is tying all the parts together. I won't say loose ends, because I don't believe our Lord had loose ends. They're all complete. But He's tying all that together to bring us to the point. And His emphasis is that there's people that think they're going the right way that are not going the right way. There's people that are expecting to get in that are not going to get in. And it is imperative that you're not guessing. It's imperative that you're not just hoping. It's imperative that you are grounded and founded upon what's right. Amen. And so He is tying all this up and pulling us down to the end with these statements. So the therefore in verse number 24 ties it back to the verses preceding that in verses 21 through 23, when He says that not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Now, in this parable, and I keep calling it a parable because it doesn't say it. It doesn't, and I don't know, people that write about the parables that don't necessarily use this one. I think some do and some don't, because it's not announced as a parable in Scripture. But it is. You can see it as it's a picture, as He talks about, I'm likening Him unto. That's a parable. Is like this world is likened to a certain man that had two sons. And He'll go on and talk about different things such as that. And so this is a case that He's given us a word picture. He's drawn us a picture. Not that there's a literal builder who is literally building a house without a foundation, but building it upon the sand. Matter of fact, there's nobody in here, I doubt. I know we've got carpenters in here, and then there are men and women that are not carpenters, but I don't think there's anybody in here that would attempt to build a house, a total house, and would absolutely have no foundation whatsoever under it. We would know better than that. You'd say, preacher, that's foolish. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. But he's using that picture to show us something even more elaborate. How much more foolish is it to build a life without a foundation? How much more foolish is it to expect to go to heaven without a foundation to stand on? Amen. And so he's given us that principle and trying to show us how foolish that this would be. And so as he deals with this parable, there are not only two types of builders, but there's two types of buildings that are involved. The building which is built is determined by the builder who constructs it. That's right. It's still that way today. People, when they're talking about a house for sale, they may very well tell you what construction crew built it or what contractor built that. Why? Because there's a name that is associated, and that name has a testimony that's associated with that. That's good and right. And so our Lord, He doesn't call these men's name other than wise and foolish. But as He deals with this, the building is determined by the builder that is building it. Now, there are many aspects of the construction of these two buildings that are similar. Probably a lot of things that are similar to one another, but there's a vast contrast, a great contrast between one very important aspect of these two buildings, and that difference is one that many times would go unnoticed because a foundation is underground. And so if you build without a foundation, people might not know that, because the foundation that would normally be there is unseen. Amen. You know, you can walk through life, your whole life, and people not know for sure and be able to declaratively say that you're saved or lost? Because they can't see your heart. Now, I know they can see your fruits, they can see your actions, but you can be a hypocrite about all that. You can put on sheep's clothing, the Bible says. Amen. You could pretend to be something that you're not, and I think our world's full of people that are doing that, and then I think there are the world's full of people that are, they're not necessarily trying to deceive others, they are themselves deceived. They have no foundation. It's not obvious to us that we can point that out at the moment. Amen. And so he's saying this is a hidden thing, and yet it is a very sensitive, it is a very important thing, and that is the foundation upon which the building is built. Amen. Now, our Lord uses this great contrast to demonstrate the difference between those that hear the Word of Christ and do it, contrasted to those that hear His Word and choose not to do it. Amen. They choose not to. And so, in looking at the particulars of this parable, I want to focus on the two builders for a moment and contrast the wise builder with the foolish builder. That's what I'm going to deal with tonight. The wise builder versus the foolish builder. Verse 24, our Lord tells us there's a wise builder. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So he says, here is a wise builder. He calls him a wise man. He has built his house upon the rock. Now, if you notice the words of our Lord's going to point out two things primarily about this wise builder. They're simple. You can find it in those two words, wise builder. He's going to point to his work, the building that he's doing, and he's going to point to his wisdom, the brilliance of how he is building that. Our Lord uses that idea at other times. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter number 6. Turn over there. And some believe this is the Sermon on the Mount as well. I don't think it's a separate sermon, because this sermon actually doesn't take place on the mount. It takes place down in the valley by the seaside. But in Luke chapter number 6, our Lord gives us, it is a sermon that contains much of the same information that the Sermon on the Mount does, but it has a little bit more concerning this thing about the two builders and buildings. Look at verse 47, and we'll read the last three verses of chapter number 6 in the book of Luke. Verse number 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep. That's a point that's not mentioned in Matthew. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So you see the similarities between these two builders and these two houses and these two different sermons. But our Lord gives us a little bit more detail in Luke. This wise man not only built on the rock, but he took the effort to find the rock. He made the effort to get down where the rock was. He had to push some things aside. He had to move some things out of the way. Those things were dirt. Those things was earth. Amen. Had to get the dirt and the earth out of the way that he might dig deep, that he might find the rock. And then he built his house on that rock that he found as he dug deep. Amen. Now, when I think about that, I'm thinking about the work of this wise man. Digging is work. Amen. Brother Steve can say amen right there. He'd been out here digging around. Amen. And there's work involved in that. You dig a foundation. I thank God for the equipment we have today. Amen. Where you can get a backhoe in there. Which we don't allow that. We got workers around here that need to use a shovel. But we got equipment that makes things a lot simpler today than they had it then. But there's still some effort that goes into digging a foundation. And you have to get it deep enough that you're below the frost line, get it wide enough that you've got enough stability, and of course they've got codes and all that goes along with that. But the point I'm trying to make here is that verse number 48 of Luke chapter number 6 tells us that this wise man put forth some effort. This wise man put out some labor. He put out some work. He digged. He didn't just scrape across the top of the ground. He dug down deep. Amen. And he laid the foundation on the rock. Now think about it with me. This man obviously used some wisdom. This man obviously took some great care. He exerted a great amount of energy that he might push away the dirt, that he might get through that in order to build his foundation, that it might be on a good footing. Amen. That he might have the rock on which to build his footing. And so all this emphasizes, I believe, some things about being a Christian. Being a Christian and doing what Christ said does not just happen. It doesn't just happen to those that are scraping along the surface. It's got to be to some people that dig down deep. Amen. I'm going to tell you what we need in our services, and I hope you'll pray that this happens. When the preaching goes out, or whether it's a song or a testimony, but in particular the preaching of the Word of God, because that's what God's chosen to use. When the preaching goes out, we need to pray that it don't just fall on some soil, but it falls into some good soil, that it might get down deep, that the seed might germinate, that it might then produce seed and fruit for the glory of God. Amen. I thank God for that Sunday morning, fifth Sunday in June, 1974, when God got a hold of me. He dealt with me for months before that, but God got a hold of me, and it wasn't just a surface dealing, it was a deep dealing with me. Amen. And when I came to Christ, I wasn't interested in just a surface profession. I wasn't interested in just surfacely dealing with God. I wanted in. I wanted all the way in. Amen. I believe there's people, they're satisfied with just a surface dwelling. Just sign a card, they're all right with that. Amen. Just repeat a prayer, say the right words, hocus pocus, maybe I'll focus. Get in. No, that's good enough for them, but that's not digging deep. Amen. And that's not really getting in where you need to be. Well, it emphasizes that being a Christian and doing what Christ says does not come easily. There's got to be some effort put forth. Amen. I thought about this yesterday. There's a man preaching and he made a statement, and you know how that germinates in your mind, it runs on, and that's where I was at. And I was thinking about all the things God has done without even asking us. God made the world and never asked us a thing about it. He made the world and didn't wait for us to ask Him to do it. God made us. God gave us life without us asking Him to do it. Amen. God gave His Son. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son without us asking Him to do it. God has given you life. He gave you breath. He'll give you the next breath if you're blessed by God, probably without you even asking Him to do it. But He will not save you without you asking. It ain't ever happened. You ain't found it one time in the Bible where anybody said, "Well, what happened? God just saved me and I didn't know what was happening." Never happens. Never happens. It don't just fall out of the tree on you. Amen. It don't just fall out of heaven on you. There's got to be a asking. Amen. And there's a verse for that. You have not because you ask not. Amen. Now, some people ask, but they ask amiss. I understand that. And we deal with some of that thing. But this idea about being saved, there has got to be, there's some effort. Not just being saved, there's effort. And I'm not talking about you getting saved by your own ability. I believe you know better than that. But I know this as well, that God has to draw you. I understand that, the Spirit of God. But as He's drawing, there's got to be a seeking in order for you to find. Amen. Ye shall find me, He said in Jeremiah, when ye search for me with all your heart. Amen. Amen. Paul told those fellows over there at Athens that they ought to search for God if happily He might be found to them. Amen. And so I say to you, run to Jesus and ask Him to save you. Amen. If you're unsaved. But then being a Christian, not just being saved, but being a real Christian and doing what Christ says does not just come easily. There's effort involved. We still battle the flesh. We still battle the devil. We still battle the world. Amen. We battle our old habits. We battle our old way of doing things. Amen. We are creatures of habit. I know we are. We show that. We exhibit that over and over again. But I say this, choosing the right way every day is a matter of effort. It takes some effort. Amen. Christ spoke in His Sermon on the Mount here in verse number 14. Then let's see, chapter 7, verse number 14. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It tells me there's got to be a searching for that narrow way. Amen. He talks in another place. He said you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Amen. It takes some effort. I'm simply saying this is no easy way. Amen. It's a straight and narrow way. It requires effort to follow Christ. J.C. Ryle said it this way. I like it. He's talking about this text in Matthew 7. He said, like the house built on a rock, it may entail on him pains, labor, and self-denial. To lay aside pride and self-righteousness. To crucify the rebellious flesh. To put on the mind of Christ. To take up His cross daily. To count all things but loss for Christ's sake. All this may be hard work. But like the house built on the rock, such a religion will stand. I say amen, Mr. Ryle. Amen. If you will deny yourself and follow Christ. If you will crucify the flesh. If you'll turn to Him with all your heart. You can survive the storm. Amen. Now I'm saying, talking about the work of the builder. Amen. There's work in construction. They call it construction work. There's work involved in it. Amen. Amen. There's work involved. There's work involved in being a Christian. Christianity, I say it this way, true Christianity is not for a lazy man. Amen. It's not a calling for a lazy man. Amen. It requires dedication. It requires commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's some verses. I'll just read them to you. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. That takes some effort. Take up the cross, His cross, and follow Me. Luke 9:26. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The point that I'm making here is that salvation and Christianity is not for a lazy person. It's for somebody that's willing to exert some effort and put something forth unto it. Amen. There are numerous other verses that talk about that. Our Lord's dealing with the work of this builder. Can I say this? Christianity is not for sissies. It's for real men. Amen. I know the world will mock you. Here's what the world says. They'll say it especially to young people. It takes a real man to drink beer. No, it don't. That's exactly right. Any old fool can drink beer. That's right. I believe it takes a real man to say no. Amen. I know they have the signs up. I saw one yesterday as we was coming back. And it said, it was a Budweiser sign. And it said, enjoy responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Well, how about they just put, don't drink?
Amen.
Amen. Just don't drink. It's being more responsible to say no to the first one. By the way, how do you know you're going to say no to the second one if you can't say no to the first one? Amen. Well, preacher, I'm going to drink a little bit, but I would never drink too much. How do you know you'll stop at 6 if you never stopped at the first one? Amen. And so this thing about Christianity, it's not just alcohol, but there's a million things that the world's going to throw up and they'll mock you. Oh, you're a sissy, why you don't smoke? You're a sissy, why you don't try this? You're a sissy, why you don't talk like that? You're a sissy, why you don't... Listen, Christianity is not for sissies. It takes a real man to stand up and say no to the flesh and the world and the devil. It takes a real man to say no when the pressure's on him to do wrong. Amen. Here's what I believe. I believe Joseph in the Scripture was a man's man when he was able to turn his back on Potiphar's wife and say no to her recommendation of an illicit affair. Amen. He said no. He ran away from her. People say he is a coward. No, he is a strong man. Proved it later on. Amen. Amen. Well, he's talking about this work is what I'm dealing with. The work of this wise builder. But not only that, he deals with his wisdom. And that's why he calls him a wise builder. He's got some wisdom. This man built his house upon a rock, it says in verse 24. It shows great wisdom as well as great effort. Amen. That's another thing our world wants to mock. Our world says, man, if you make a living digging ditches, or you make a living hammering nails, and you must be a fool. You must be a foolish man. Listen, I've met carpenters a lot smarter than fellas been to college. Amen. Amen. And I'll say a man that knows how to handle himself is better off than a man that just knows how to read it in a book. Amen. That's right. A man that has that ability to do something with himself, I think it's a wise thing to get back to. I do. I don't think everybody has to do that. I understand that. And there's work to be done in other places, and we could go on and on about some of that. But I'm saying that there's no reason for us to denigrate one crowd and say, well, they must be dumb. They got to make their work with their back. Thank God for people that have made the living with their backs. Amen. I do. But a man that's making his living with his back don't mean he don't have any brains. Amen. He may very well have quite a bit of brain power. This man does. Our Lord talked about this man. He not only put forth great effort, he had great wisdom. Amen. Great wisdom. This man made a conscious choice. Amen. If you want to make a note of that, I'll use a couple of these thoughts. He made a conscious choice that he was going to build his house correctly. He was going to start it right, no matter how much effort it took to start it right, to get to the foundation. He had to choose where to start digging, and then he had to not quit but keep digging until he got down to the rock. He had to dig it wide enough and deep enough that he might have a place to build his house upon. Amen. He made a conscious choice that he was going to dedicate himself to that purpose. He was going to do whatever was necessary in order to start his house right. I say amen to that. Amen. He was smart enough to choose something solid to build on. Amen. He was smart enough to choose something lasting in which to build upon. He was smart enough to choose something unmovable on which to build his life upon. Amen. Now, here's what the world says. The world says, you know, religion's outdated. You need to build your life on modern philosophy. Only problem with that is modern philosophy is constantly changing. You need to build on something that don't change, like the Word of God. Amen. Old-time religion doesn't change. That's why the world don't like it. They want to change all the time. But if you're going to build something, I don't want to build on something that's constantly rocking and rolling and moving. Amen. You want to build on something that's solid. By the way, our world's dying for that. I'm convinced that. Again, this is another thought that came to me yesterday. I didn't know it would apply here. Didn't know either one of these would apply here. But I think this is a good place for it. You know one reason why young people, you look at children today. Children today are, really they're in a very precarious situation, because in our society today, homes are falling apart. They're falling apart. I think I personally believe that it's sad that children have to grow up wondering, is daddy going to come home to mama tonight? It's sad that they got to wonder about that. Amen. And I could run it. I think it's a shame that children got to wonder, is mama going to be a blonde, or is she going to be a brunette, or is she even going to have hair when she comes home tomorrow? I think that's sad. They ought to know mama's going to look like mama. She's not going to look like Madonna. She's going to look like mama. Amen. But you know what young people do? Young people love to go to grandma and grandpa's house. You know why? Because grandma and grandpa's too old to change. Grandma and grandpa, it's just like it's always. I mean, this hat always is. Grandma always says the same thing. Grandpa always says the same thing. They always look the same. It's a little bit of stability in a world that is unstable. And thank God for grandmas and grandpas. Amen. I tell you, keep it old-timey and keep it right. Amen. Be stable in an unstable world. And by the way, that's why we need a church that's stable. We don't need a church that's constantly changing the way we worship. Amen. Constantly changing the style of music, style of dress, and a kind of Bible we're going to use. We need something that is stable that they can come to and say, I know how it was in the past, and it'll be that way tomorrow, thank God. Amen. Our world's looking for something with a little bit of stability in it. This wise builder, he had work. He put the effort forth. But he had wisdom. He dug down to find something that was unmovable. Thank God. Amen. That's a wise choice. He not only made a conscious choice, but this man was conscientiously concerned about the future. This building, this digging down, his house wasn't going to be built in a day. His house wasn't going to, digging down didn't get his roof on. Digging down didn't set the rafters. Digging down didn't raise the walls. No, he's doing this today because he's looking forward to tomorrow and days on past tomorrow. He's conscientiously concerned about the future. Amen. We got a lot of foolish people in our world today that all they're doing is living for the moment. That's right. Living for the moment. Living for today. Enjoying today. Just get all you can get today. Eat, drink, and be merry today. For tomorrow we die. That seems to be the mentality of a lot of people. But this man was thinking about the future. This man was planning for the future. This man was anticipating storms might come. And I don't want my house washed away. Storms may very well arise. And I don't want my house to fall. And so he had some work that was involved. But he had some wisdom in which he did his work. Amen. Amen. Now, he did not hide his head in the sand. When the storm clouds began to roll, he just dug deep and found the rock and built his house on that rock. Amen. He didn't hide his head in the sand, but he had a firm grasp on reality. Amen. A lot of people, when the storm clouds come overhead, you know what they do? They're paralyzed with fear. They become immobilized with dread. Amen. Rather than jumping into action, rather than doing whatever needs to be done, they are immobilized. You know, they're not digging deep enough. I tell you what y'all do. When the storm clouds come, just dig deeper. Amen. When you know the problems might arise and the devil may howl and the flesh may rise up against you and your family may say, I don't understand what you're doing. Just dig deeper. Dig down till you get on the rock and firmly stand on that rock. Amen. Amen. Well, this man was wise enough not to get entangled with the present time. So that he couldn't devote his energies to the future. Amen. A lot of people, I'm convinced so many people today are playing the fool by just exerting all their energies in the present time. Amen. Not preparing for eternity. Never planning, never preparing for the future. By the way, that's what caused God to call a man a fool in Luke chapter number 12. That we call him the rich fool. He was a rich farmer. Everything went good. He said, I'm going to build bigger. I'm going to tear my old barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to say to my soul, eat, drink, be merry, relax. You got much goods laid up for many years. God said, thou fool. All you're thinking about is today. Thou fool. I mean, he had preparations. He even had preparations for this life, but he had no preparations for the next life. And God said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Amen. So there's the mention of this man's work and this man's wisdom. Number two, I want you to look at the foolish builder. Now, I will not be real long with this. The foolish builder. Verse number 26, he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, there's a phrase there that really jumped out to me today. That first phrase, and everyone. Some people say, now, preacher, I'm not going to listen today, but I'm not a fool. Jesus said, you're a fool. He said, every one of them that don't listen is a fool. He said, every one of them that does not put into practice and obey the Word of God is a fool. Every one of them. But preacher, I've got a PhD. I've got a master's degree. I've got a doctor's degree. I've got all these degrees. Jesus said, it don't matter. If you don't obey the Word of God, you're a fool. That's what Jesus said. Those are His words. Amen. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Amen. I don't remember now who it was, and I didn't write it down. But one of the commentators, I think that it was Thomas Watson. But I'm not sure that it was. It could have been Matthew Henry. This sounds like something he'd say. One of the men said, talking about men that are wise in this world only. And he said, they are worldly wise and eternally a fool. Amen. Worldly wise and eternally a fool. That is sad that a person could be in that boat. Amen. But here's this man. And so just like the wise builder, our Lord focused on his work and his wisdom. There's two things about this man that I want to point out about his building. He's building on the sand. I want to think about his speed. You can build quickly if you don't take the time to dig down. I mean, you can get to raising trusses a lot quicker if you're not digging down. You can start standing up walls a lot quicker if you're not digging down. So I want to notice the speed this man probably built with. And then I want to notice the stupidity that this man dealt with. Amen. Our Lord called him a foolish builder. When I think about the speed, I say again, he did not take the time to dig down deep. He just started his house on the sand. Amen. Did you know you can knock a home run, you can knock it across the fence, and you can get to home plate quicker if you don't go to first base, if you just go straight across the pitcher's mound to second base, and then to third base, and then back home. That'd be a lot quicker, but you'll be out when it comes time for the umpire to make the call, because you didn't start right. You have to hit first base. I'm telling you, you're a fool not to dig down, take the time, and go to that first base, and put your foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. The speed that he dealt. He didn't put forth the effort to get rid of the dirt. Dirty things in a person's life needs to be dug out of the way. Get down to the rock. Amen. He didn't dig down, get down to the solid footing before he started his house. Thus the construction of this foolish man's house would no doubt have been much faster, much more speedy than the wise man's house. Amen. Some people, a lot of people, believe that speed in doing something is akin to success. The quicker you can do it, the quicker you can do it, the more successful you are. That's not necessarily so. Amen. Especially in a lot of things, I'll be honest, that's not always the case. Amen. I would contend that sometimes being speedy about things is not the best policy. Amen. If somebody, for example, somebody's doing surgery on me, I don't want them just to hurry up and get it over with. I want them to do a thorough job.
Right.
Amen. Be sure and do a thorough job. Talk about this thing about speedy, and it's not always the best. I'm convinced there's a lot of people going broke trying to get rich quick. Amen. They're going broke trying to get rich quick. They're not investing wisely. They're not investing, faithfully, consecutively, the way that it ought to be, consistently. That's the word I'm looking for. They're not making the proper investments. They want to just get rich quick. I mean, buying lottery tickets is not a way to riches. It's a way to poverty. Amen. It's a way to poverty. Well, this foolish man built his house on the sand. Why would a man do such a foolish thing? Well, nobody sees the foundation anyhow, preacher. That's not important. The only thing that's important is what they see. That's foolish thinking. Amen. It might be pretty speedy. It might be all right. Might be pretty speedy, and everybody say, boy, you're doing good. You're out there doing good real quick. But have you dug down? Have you found the rock? Are you built upon the rock? If not, you've made a foolish decision. Amen. This man obviously didn't care enough to make the concessions that it would take the time to do, put forth the effort that it's going to take to dig down to the solid rock. Apparently, this man also made a conscious choice. That was the first point I made about the wise man. This man made a conscious choice. His conscious choice was to take a shortcut. Shortcuts are not always good. Amen. Shortcuts are not always good, especially in the building process.
Amen.
Amen. I say this and then get ready to move on, but sin offers us immediate gratification. It's a shortcut to gratification. You don't have to wait for marriage. You can just enjoy premarital relationship. No, that's wrong. And it has repercussions down the road. I mean, that's just one illustration, but so many things that sin offers us an immediate gratification. Sin offers us a shortcut to pleasure. You don't have to put in the effort. You don't have to put in the time. You don't have to wait on that and have some self-denial that the world will tell you you can have your pleasure immediately. But just like the case of the fall of this house that was built on the sand, your house is going to come crumbling down one day. If all you've done is had shortcuts, if all you've done is that you've lived for the moment and the pleasure, your house is going to fall in a catastrophic ruin one day, just like this house did. Great was the fall of it. Amen. Can I say to you, don't build your life on this world's shifting sands? Dig down and find the rock, which is Jesus. Build your life on Him. Amen. Christ and His Word. That's what He's talking about here in this text. Another point to make about this fact of this foolish man, his house being established on the sand. No foundation. He didn't dig deep. He just laid it on the ground. He's not resting on the rock. Now, don't you think about it. So the rock doesn't get any glory for holding his house up, because his house is not resting on the rock. What makes his house so nice is that he did it his way. So there's not just a shortcut. Here's where I want to go with it. There's a show. There's a show. He gets the glory for building that house. He gets the glory for doing it his own way. As I don't know if you heard, I heard a little bit of it Saturday, Brother Hoheimer's message, and he's telling about this man that he met that came out there some years ago, and that man said this. He asked him, he said, son, are you saved? And that man said, well, I'm going to heaven. I don't have to be saved. And he said, what do you mean? He said, me and God got our own thing worked out. Brother Hoheimer said, what do you mean you got your own thing worked out? He said, well, I'm keeping the golden rule, and I'm expecting to get in that way. Brother Hoheimer said, you won't get in without the blood of Jesus Christ. He was preaching on the blood. Amen. Without shedding the blood, there's no remission. You won't get in without the blood. But that guy had it figured out. He had it his own way. Brother Hoheimer said, as far as he knows, that boy's still not saved. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Listen, if you're going to get to heaven, and if you're going to be in that number when that time comes, it's not something that you can just take for granted. It's not something that you just did it yourself. Amen. There's got to be a real seeking after God. Amen. And a real getting to God and building on His rock. He gets the glory for holding you up because He's the rock. He gets, by the way, that foundation. Why did the house stand? Because, He said, it was grounded on the rock. Amen. Why do houses fall? Because they're not grounded on the rock, He said. That's the point that he made. Amen. So there's shortcuts and there's show. Foundation, just this house that this foolish man built, just sits on the sand. So you can see it all. There's nothing hidden. There's a show of it all. Amen. So much of religious buildings, if I could say it that way, in our lives of people today, they use spiritual shortcuts. And it's all for show. So they can say, I am religious. But there's no depth to their spiritual life. There's no rock bottom in their spiritual life. Amen. Not only we see this man's fact of his building here that he built with speed, but this man built with stupidity. He shows us that. I talked about the other man had a conscientious concern for the future. This man had no conscientious concern for the future. He's not thinking about tomorrow. He's not thinking about when the storms come, what's going to happen to my house when this sand washes away. Amen. What's going to happen when this, sand don't even hold you up good if you've stood on it. I know sand packs down, all right, but sand is shifting, and all you got to do is put forth a little bit of effort and the whole thing moves. Amen. This fellow didn't care about that. He wasn't thinking about that. He was not preparing for the future. He's acting stupidly, we'd say. Right. Dumbfoundedly, amen. Not putting forth the effort that he should have. He didn't dig deep. He didn't give forethought to his construction. This builder neglected to put in the time. This builder neglected to put forth the effort to lay the proper foundation, amen. His construction is marked by neglect. By the way, our Lord said, the reason I call this man a foolish man is because he neglects the word of mine, the word of Christ. He said he neglects that word. Amen. His house is built by neglect. He heard the words of Christ, but he didn't lay them to heart. He didn't put them into action. Amen. He neglected the teachings of Christ. He chose to go the wrong way. Matthew Henry said this. This goes along with this. Matthew Henry said, this man knows his duty, but lives in the neglect of it. This man knows his duty, but lives in the neglect of it. Amen. unbelief, are you listening to me now? Unbelief is the rejection, I guess that's the right way to say it, the willful rejection, that's it, of known truth. I refuse to believe that. That's what you're saying. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. I refuse to believe that. Unbelief is either the willful rejection or I believe it is rebellion against. I don't want to believe that. I refuse to believe that. I'm not going to believe that. Amen. There's effort put up against the truth of these men. Amen. And that is true in a lot of cases. These people that have gotten more knowledge are going to stand in more condemnation, our Lord said, than those that had little knowledge, because they've heard more, and to whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Now, thinking about these two houses that are built and the contrasting of the two builders, there might appear, looking at the two houses, very little difference. I thought about this. I put it this way. One might be as beautiful as the other. One might be as big as the other. One might be in as good a location as the other. But there's a vast difference in those houses, because one had a firm foundation and the other didn't. Amen. Amen. One had a firm foundation and the other didn't. Now that might be concealed to the human eye, but it can't be concealed forever, because storms are coming. Rains are coming. Floods are coming. Wind is coming. One house is going to stand and the other house is going to fall. Amen. Mark chapter 16 verse 26 is a word we know our Lord said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm asking you the question, are you living foolishly? Are you building foolishly? Are you behaving stupidly? Or are you digging deep? Are you in your Bible? You read your Bible? Are you in the prayer closet? You're calling on God. You're talking to God. You're walking with God. You're living for Christ. Or are you just a surface dwelling Christian? You're just going to build your life on what people see. And you're going to take shortcuts. And you're going to build with speed, but there's going to come a sad day when the house falls, because there's no footing, no foundation. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God again that has reminded us of the seriousness of this situation. Father, I pray, help us. I'm not interested in making people doubt, but I am interested in making a search and not just taking for granted that everything's all right. Lord, help us to dig deep. Help us to get in our Bible. Help us to get on our knees. Help us to call on God and dig deep. Help us to do some real soul searching of our own life. Where do we stand? What are we standing on? Are we basing it on what somebody else said? Or are we basing it on the words of Christ? You said if we hear these sayings and do them, we're a wise man. But if we hear these sayings and do them not, we're foolish. Lord, I pray, move on this congregation. Move over the airwaves. Bring some sinner to Christ before it's too late. Help the saints, dear God, to build a proper building for God. And as I said, Lord, that we'd have a stable place that people can come back to. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, you obey the Lord.